Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. We're having a bit of a delayed instant reaction. I don't think we could have handled an instant reaction last night.
It's just a reaction at this point.
That's a good point.
So we're going to talk about the basketball game last night. We're going to touch on maybe spring football. Maybe.
We'll see.
Touch on the baseball season that is ongoing. They're playing right now, actually. There was an inside the park home run tonight by your left fielder, Max Marshak.
Hey.
Josh Young crushed one over the center field wall, estimated 400 plus feet. They had a 6-2. So it was a 4-run lead when I turned the game off when I got here in the seventh. So that game is still ongoing as we record. We are just over 24 hours post tip-off of the basketball NCAA National Championship game. Michael, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I keep telling myself that I started out thinking Sweet 16 was going to be just about the bar. Mm-hmm. That was kind of where the cutoff was for most folks, is if we made it to the Sweet 16, then...
And we talked about that in one of the episodes leading up to the tournament. We said if we didn't get to the Sweet 16, it would be disappointing, and then anything kind of Elite Eight or beyond would be gravy, but I don't feel that way right now.
I don't either. And I think that's partially because you kicked the crap out of everybody up until... I don't think I'd include Michigan State and kicking the crap out of them. You did beat them by double digits, as Kyle called it.
It was close until right at the very end, your lead expanded. Similar with Gonzaga, it was close and into the last couple of minutes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your lead expanded. Same kind of thing happened to you last night. It was close, and then their lead expanded.
Yep. Just got away from you.
Yep. So you end up losing 85-77. More points I think anybody was expecting, even considering an overtime game.
Texas Tech scored 39 points in the second half.
That's a lot of points for slow Texas Tech and the defense of Virginia.
For a non-sexy dud of a team, that's pretty good.
Pete Thamel can suck it.
The worst. That article was just as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I hate myself for clicking it. If y'all know what I'm talking about, it was a Yahoo article, something about something bunnies unsexy. I'm kidding. That's an inside joke. But something unsexy team. No more blue bloods. Get used to this type of Final Four. And I thought, what's wrong with that? The Auburn-Virginia game was a crazy game. Mm-hmm. It came down to the last second. It came down to Texas Tech enemy number one, Mr. Guy, having to make three free throws. The Texas Tech-Michigan State game was a really good game. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. Defense played well, both sides of the ball. I don't know what more you could ask for. It was a close game, and then, of course... He wrote that before the national championship game that went into overtime and ended up with a very, Well, maybe not a very NBA looking score, but one I've seen before.
Yeah, and he wasn't one of the only media pundits or whatever you want to call themselves that were not looking forward to this game, thinking it was going to be boring. Even the guys at halftime, which I couldn't stand the halftime show. Gumbel, Williams, Barkley, the four guys on that show.
Kenny Smith. Yeah.
It was just like, they were like, this is ugly. They need to be doing this and they need to be shooting more and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
it's bad offense. It's not good defense over and over and over. That's all they'd say.
I mean, they had a couple of points where they were showing the Virginia guard, Clark, passing up an open shot kind of early in the shot clock to kind of move the ball around. And it may have happened two or three times in the first half. And they were just like, this is just what we're talking about. They're out there just to burn clock and wait till we get to 5 seconds left and then try to run an offense. And that's not what this was at all. But, so yeah, I, if you were following me on Twitter, or sorry, if you're following the podcast account, going back to, you know, maybe this time last year, you know, I'm not one to hold punches against refs, and I will just say up front, whatever you want to call this disclaimer, that like nothing I say will make you or I feel any better about what happened last night.
Okay.
And there's no changing it, but it happened. There were a couple of questionable calls that I think were definitely ones that went in Virginia's favor, that had a very negative impact on the game. Yeah, you can say like, well, you had all your opportunities to score and you did. You had all the opportunities to stop Virginia and you did. You had those opportunities. That doesn't take away the fact that these calls affected the outcome of the game. If you want to talk about in regulation, the end of regulation, I think it was. Gosh, maybe they're both in overtime. I can't remember exactly what it was.
I think the most egregious ones were in overtime, or the most
controversial
ones.
It was Moretti and Guy. It was that matchup twice.
And yes.
You got the butt end of that twice. One was their big guy, Mamadi Diakite,
mm-hmm.
set a moving screen against you, bumped into Guy, tripped Guy, and then Moretti got called for a foul, where this was, you were up by two or three at the point.
I think it was three. I think it had just started.
Yeah, so you were up by three. And instead of that being a turnover, your ball, not that you like would have scored, but you could have scored, expanded that to a 5 or 6 point lead, which in this game felt pretty big, ends up putting Guy on the line to bring the game within one.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One. potentially a 5-point swing on just a blown call. Like, there was, like, Moretti may not have even touched him.
I don't know if he did. He was behind him. He was chasing him. He was chasing. Fighting the screen.
And the other one was Moretti was chasing down had collected a loose ball, turnover, was running up the court, had two defenders on him, guy chasing him from behind, reaches around, hits Moretti across the arms, groin area, causes Moretti to stumble just enough for, was it Hunter?
I think Hunter was
Hunter
there.
Hunter to swipe the ball out of bounds, and then the painfully slow replay process showed that, yes, it didn't, most likely went out on Moretti's hand as he was trying to corral it back in. That he was the last one to touch it, but that part of the replay I'm okay with. It was that they missed the egregious foul before that.
Right. It's hard to argue with the replay. The replay was, if that's what they're reviewing, that was the correct call to make.
And but one dribble prior to that was a foul.
And I know, and...
And I think you were up at this point,
too. I just wonder how announcers, they've got to be coached not to talk about that type of thing. Because you see that a lot. There were even a couple of times where they would show a replay in slow motion where I felt like our guys got away with a foul. Mm-hmm. You know, they might show someone at the basket, oh, what a great block by someone. And then you see it later and you realize they tagged him on the arm pretty good after getting the ball, maybe. Or... And you see that slow motion replay and the guys just still, whatever the ref called, they just stick with it. Oh, what a tremendous block. Or in this case, you know, what great hustle, by Hunter to be there, completely ignoring the fact that guy just about mauled Moretti on the way. And he even had both hands in the air, I didn't do anything, which is always
an indication that he thinks he did something.
Yeah. He was surprised the whistle didn't get blown himself. So that one was tough to watch, just because you had to watch that replay over and over and see the obvious foul on Moretti that would have put, everyone was in the bonus in overtime, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would have put best free throw shooter in the nation on the line. That mm-hmm. that's a pretty good outcome in Tech's favor. But I do have a solution to this, though. A simple solution. Coach Beard, if you're listening, all you have to do is amputate Davide Moretti's right pinky.
He needs that. It's a shooting hand.
No, it's fine. It's fine. He'll have the whole offseason.
Relearn his shot.
He won't even know it's gone. Okay, won't even know it's gone. If we just get rid of the pinky, eliminate this from happening again, we'll be talking national championship. People don't even know how to, you know, the pinky's just kind of there. It's just hanging out. Won't even miss it. Won't even notice. It's such a bang bang play, and you see it on Twitter a lot. That people are arguing if this would have happened in the first 5 minutes of the game, no one would have thought twice about it.
No, because you had 40 minutes of game time to overcome that. But
not just that.
With a couple of minutes left in overtime, it's like that's kind of a big call to miss.
Right, and they probably wouldn't
royally
have replayed
effed it up.
Yeah, they wouldn't have replayed it on CBS before the commercial break or coming back or anything. It would just have been, everyone would have assumed the ref got it right because he 99.8% did get it right in that case.
And I can't remember, it's probably an article I read today that discussed one of these controversial calls that Virginia has had go in their favor for like 3 straight games now. And not that I'm saying these refs were, like, there was some kind of conspiracy.
No.
That's not my suggestion. But that in the process of a replay and review, that, like, I'm not sure where they were getting this information, but they were saying if a referee sees an uncalled foul go against the offensive team, and then that very nearly goes out of bounds on the offensive team, like, they would give the offensive team the ball back, kind of like as a makeup call.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
No.
Obviously.
Not in that case. I don't want to harp on the refs too much just because, you know, what can you do about it now? But one other one I wanted to bring up was I forgot who it was, but Culver was blocking out someone, had position underneath the basket. I think it was right when overtime started too. And whoever he was blocking out reached over his back completely, and Culver kind of threw his arms in the air.
Yeah, I remember that. Because he went straight up.
Yeah, Culver went straight up.
The defender from behind Culver had wrapped his arm around Culver, and then Culver was called for the foul.
Yeah, Culver was called for the foul for standing.
He put his arm up. The defender wrapped his arm around Culver.
Yes.
And then Culver got fouled.
And then he shot two free throws.
And he shot two and made two.
Yep.
Because they were 14 of 14 in overtime.
Right. I think that might have been Hunter.
I don't doubt it.
I think that was Hunter too, who had an excellent game. And let's, you know.
No, he did.
Let's get to that. I mean, those Virginia guys were shooting lights out. They had a good game plan. They were getting our guys mixed up on when they should switch screens and when they should fight through. And there would just seem like there'd be a mob of four or five guys standing around whoever would shoot the wide open three. That just seemed to be like a constant thing, that somehow someone was coming off some screen and there were two or three guys around it, and they'd shoot an open three and they'd hit it. I mean, they were on fire. At one point, weren't they above 60% shooting in second half? They ended at 52, which is nothing to sneeze at, especially at this defense. But you know, they had 11 of 24 from
in the second
three
half,
point, right?
Yeah, because for the game they shot just under 46.
Right, first half they didn't shoot very well. Well, they shot over 40. They shot 41% first half, but you know, 52 in the second half. I think it was with about 7 or 8 minutes left when Tech made their run that they were at 60 something percent, and then they, you know, thankfully started missing a few, and Tech was able to bounce back in it. But they played well. They played really well. They had a good mm-hmm. game plan. They were messing up our offense big time. Their defense just our guys could not figure out what the heck to do the first minutes of the game.
We went 7 minutes without a field goal to start the game.
Oh, man, that was...
Which would have been, like...
It was rough.
Devastating had you not also been really good on defense, and you were getting enough free throws to keep you in it.
Yep. Just barely.
I think you had three.
I think so too. It was like 8-3 or
7 minutes into the game. You're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I scored 3 points.
It felt insurmountable.
I think the one thing they did really well on defense that really frustrated our offense was when they switched, especially when they had Diakite, like he would switch over and then he would hold just long enough, and then he would run like basically from like the 3-point line down the center of the lane to track back to his offensive player. But when he was running, he had his hand straight up. So like you couldn't throw over him.
No, that's a heck of a roadblock.
Like they held up long enough just to keep the pick and roll from being able to be completed, I guess you could call it. That the defense would push Tech, the ball handler, out just a little bit further up the court. And then when Diakite, I think he pronounced the name, I don't know, the dude with the blonde hair.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right.
He'd go streaking up the lane, but he had both of his hands up, just blocking out anything that you could throw to take advantage of him being not on his man. That guy ended up with 24 points. Hunter had 27. Ty Jerome had 16. So they had three guys in double figures. You had five.
Including Brandon Francis.
Yep. Dude went off for 17. He led the team scoring 17. He really helped kickstart both of your runs in the first and second halves.
He did. He was incredible.
Kyler Edwards shot 80% from the floor. Two for two at the free throw line, had 12 points.
Freshman Kyler Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Dominic Moretti, the quietest 15 points, because like every time like we were struggling on offense and like Culver was looking for just an inch to start driving, I was like, just throw it to Moretti. I don't know if he scored at all.
Right.
He finished with 15 points. Like,
when did that happen?
How? He needs to shoot more. Culver had 15, 5 of 6 from the line, had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block to 3 turnovers. Mooney had 10 points. Odiasi had 5. Owens had 3. Corpor had 0. Corpor only played 3 minutes, though.
Right. He was just in and out. I remember him taking a 3, and he didn't quite make it.
He shot once and then committed
didn't
one
quite
foul.
Make it. No. What does that matter? What,
he didn't make it at all.
Why did I say that?
About that. And then I think the other thing that we can look at just really quickly is that I think your last defensive possession or Virginia's last offensive possession in the second half where they tied it, where
the corner three,
you had the beginnings of all great stories. Odiasi hitting 3 free throws to put you up.
The senior
by 3.
Well, he just hit 2 free throws, but
two, but he, yeah,
it was a 1-1 right. One too. So it was even more pressure.
1-1.
That was impressive. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know I'm interrupting you, but I think about that. I thought about that a lot today. And during that sequence where he made those free throws, I couldn't be happier. I thought, man, if this is the guy that puts us above, this is just about the most perfect ending you can think of. But nope.
Yeah, that when he hit that second one and we went by 3, I was like, that's it.
22 and a half seconds left. Just don't let him make a 3.
No threes. Chris Beard is heard on the broadcast screaming, no threes, no threes. And then you get down there on defense. Beard said in interviews either today or after the game yesterday that there was too much time for him to consider like fouling there.
Right.
To before the offense was able to take a shot. And then they just kind of reverted to the defense they played all year. They had somebody driving in the lane and the defense crashed as they have done so well all season. It just opened up an open look 3 that of course had to go in to tie the game.
It was a beautiful shot. Even knowing what it meant for our team, you're just thinking that was well done. Well played. Yeah. Well played, Virginia.
And I get this is hindsight. I'm not the coach here. But after what, like 3 timeouts with 1 second to go, the game plan you came up with was to inbounds to Culver in the corner, double teamed. With a open Moretti.
Yeah, I know.
Which again, it's all hindsight.
Of course, it is.
It's easy to say this and say, oh my gosh, Culver shouldn't have shot that. He was cold and blah, blah, blah. I mean, had he made that, we would have been talking about the greatest player from Lubbock, Texas to carry Texas Tech to a national championship. I understand that.
Right. And everyone would be saying, well, of course you get it to Culver. He's your playmaker.
He's the guy that brought you here.
He's your draft pick.
Right.
Yeah. I wish we could see what he drew up the first time because Virginia called their timeout.
Because the broadcast noted when they came out after the second timeout that the Texas Tech set had changed.
Right. And Texas Tech had no timeouts left. I had a theory. My friend Adam and I were texting back and forth today. I just wonder if that was... And he was right. Adam pointed this out. I think there were just a lot of standing around. They weren't really setting screens or trying to get anybody open. It was just kind of a...
Moretti was the only person that moved.
Right.
Besides Culver.
So I'm kind of giving the benefit of the doubt, thinking that Mooney just had to give it to somebody because he didn't have any timeouts and didn't want to call a timeout.
Yeah.
No, and you wouldn't want to take the turnover and give Virginia the ball with a second left. So,
well, I mean,
well, you just throw it in.
Point, yeah, there's no.
I guess you might as well just throw it in and see what they could do with a second left. But I have that in the back of my mind that maybe it was just a sense of urgency thing that Culver was open, but they had 2 guys on him.
Yeah. Well, he may have been open like when he saw him flash in front of him for the pass, but didn't
take long to trap a guy in the corner.
Didn't have an open look for a shot.
Yeah. I wish we'd have gotten a better look for that last shot, but
yeah, of course.
Hey, that is the nittest of picks. Yeah. Picking some nits there.
So the pessimist in me, like I realize like you're looking at this team, you're like, well, we went to the Elite Eight last year. We lost all that talent. We reloaded, rebuilt, and came back and competing for a national title. Like the Texas Tech pessimist in me now thinks like, well, that was our shot. Like our once in a lifetime. Like we've never been there before. We may never go back again. And that was it. And like that thought hurts.
No, and I can't.
Like it brings like it.
I can't talk you out of it right now.
No, it's hard to like admit that, and then like not get all misty eyed like crap.
Right.
That was it.
Because
you play like such crap most of the game. You were down way big. Like you got down big in the first half. You were able to tie it right before half. And then you go into halftime down by three. It's fine. You're in that game. And then you have a terrible start to the second half. Not as bad as the first half. Get down 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You fight all the way back. You take a lead with seconds to go. And you're like, we're doing this. We're here. We're going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. Going a 12-2 run to get back in it.
And then it goes to overtime. And then you miss a couple early shots. Virginia doesn't. Then you have a couple of weird calls that go against you. Then you get down far enough that you're now fouling to preserve clock, and they're not missing free throws.
No.
It just means that
they're just straining. They're just pouring onto the lead.
Yeah. So like when I pointed out that Virginia took the 14 free throws in overtime, like I get that like six of those were from intentional fouls.
Yeah.
But still, without those six, it's still an 8-0 advantage in free throws over Texas Tech. And I can't remember if this was second half or overtime, but Mooney like rebounded a ball and then was like immediately triple teamed. I was like, there's no way he wasn't fouled in that scrum. Like he was just getting mauled.
Oh, right. Well, I'm surprised they didn't call a jump ball because they were willy-nilly with their jump balls.
Don't talk to me about jump balls.
Jump balls and travels and
because
what is and it's kind of the NCAA version of what is a catch.
Yeah.
What is a jump ball?
Well, because apparently a jump ball for Virginia means they just have to have a hand, a slight second worth a second's worth of contact while the Texas Tech player has the ball, and a Virginia player reaches out and touches it with a finger. That's a jump ball.
Of course it is.
But Texas Tech having two hands and like arms wrapped around the ball, and Virginia has it. They're like, no, it's good. We're good. Foul.
Fine. Not a problem.
On Texas Tech, apparently. Cause that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Definitely not a travel. But yeah, getting back to this point,
please.
It seems like, and by getting back to this point, I mean, getting back to a national championship game, it seems very daunting right now. Losing all these players that Tech's going to lose. We've got to be reasonable, but they have set a precedence, and it's going to be in the back of your mind like, well, maybe we can get back there. We're going to have some good recruits coming in. Beard can obviously coach some guys up. Beard and his staff's excellent.
You're arguably going to have your most talented team on paper,
right?
Next season,
you're exactly right. Talented on paper, lot of 3 and 4 stars, some really high 4 stars.
You're nearly 5 star guys.
Yeah, I mean, just practically 5 stars. If we round up, and I think I don't want to put that kind of pressure on the team, or for them to feel like we will be disappointed if they're not in a national championship next year, but. Part of you does have that despair in the back of your mind because you've never been this close ever,
mm-hmm.
ever in the history of basketball.
The closest you were prior to this season was the Elite Eight last season.
Right. And part of you, you know, I'm speaking for myself here. Part of me feels like, okay, this team was really good. Tech could play great defense, but then the back of your mind, you're always thinking, what if it was just kind of a crazy fluke that we ran through those three three rounds like we did. It was just...
Yeah, you had one of the most dominating...
Just a bulldozer.
Yeah, dominating runs in the tournament.
Yeah, beat everybody
until
by...
Until you got to Virginia.
Yeah.
Where then you looked out of sorts.
Right.
For most of the game.
Well, and Gonzaga, too. You know, they definitely put a put Tech through the ringer, too. But you were just pounding people till the Elite Eight showed up. And I don't know if that's going to happen again, especially to that type of extent, to where the last 4 or 5 minutes you're already posting all your celebratory tweets or Facebook posts or whatever. I don't think we're going to have that luxury again. I would imagine advancing in the tournament from here on out, you know, maybe round one, you'll see kind of a blowout. But beyond that, it's usually going to be a little bit more competitive. Our guys were just out of their minds at that stage. I'm really just rambling. I don't know. I think we can get back to that point. It seems so daunting to think about it now. And as I said, it doesn't seem fair to put it on the team, but it's possible. It's possible. We've seen it happen once. We've seen it happen once now. So why not again? Why not twice?
Just my counterpoint to that is, I would say, well, look at all the uber talented teams around the country that didn't make it.
Yeah.
To the Final Four.
Yeah.
Or just the championship game. Like, we're the Duke, North Carolina's, Kentucky's, like
Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn was a heck of a team. I was hoping that Tech would play Auburn, because I thought this is what everyone deserves. Two teams that no one thought would be there. This is exactly who should be playing in the national championship. I was really hoping that would pan out. I was scared to death to play them too. Don't take me take me for thinking that we could have. Oh yeah, we would have beat Auburn by 15. No, that's not what I'm saying.
I would have felt a lot better about the matchup. Like they were, from my very little knowledge of them, more heavily offensive based rather than defensive based. And we'd already proven that we could handle true offensive firepower.
Yes.
And our defense could withstand that.
Yeah. Against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I wanted to bring up one other thing. What were your thoughts on the whole, greatest turnaround in basketball history storyline that Jim Nance and CBS kept trying to push after Virginia won?
They were the consensus number one seed last season.
Right.
That a one seed 2018 to one seed 2019 is not a turnaround.
If anything, it's, I can see redemption story. I started seeing that a little bit more today. That actually makes a lot of sense. But turnaround, it made it seem like they were one of the play-in games this year, or last year. They were one of the play-in games last year, and then they ended up...
They were a Cinderella.
No.
They're the only one seed left.
Yeah. They were favored...
Also the only one seed that never had to play a one or two seed in this tournament.
The first time ever national championship team hasn't played a one or two seed.
I think Tech was their highest seeded team they played at 3.
And Tech went
obviously because they didn't play a 2 or 1. So
Tech went through, was it 2 seeds and 1 seed?
We went through
Michigan
State was a 2. Gonzaga was a 1. Michigan was a 2.
Yeah. It was a 2-1-2.
So we went what?
2-1-2-1.
6 2 1 2 1.
Yeah. It's a pretty gnarly little schedule. But yeah, let's tap the brakes on the greatest turnaround in college basketball history. No, the favored team from last year that lost a game they probably would win 99 out of 100 times played like they were supposed to this year. That's all that means.
Well, they play like they were supposed to this year, like last night maybe.
That's but true.
The rest of the, like early in the tournament, there was a lot of really close calls that I would say was more them underperforming than anything else. because of how talented they are. But yeah, so like, yes, we're going to, I give Virginia credit for winning. They deserve,
of course,
they deserve to win.
Yeah. They played a heck of a game.
Number one seed. They won 36 games this year.
Yeah.
They lost three times.
That's nuts.
I just wish they would have lost four times.
Yeah. Four losses would have looked much better.
Cause I just, it's my existence as a Texas Tech fan of the, you know, 13 years I've been a Texas Tech fan. It's just to be like, well, aw shucks, you know, it's us. We teched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We fell flat on the national stage. Like we had an opportunity to do something really cool and then just couldn't pull it off. And it's like that, it feels like we got our one shot, because when I think about like back about all the other times we had a shot, like you haven't seen it again since, like in football. I mean, baseball, you've gotten kind of close, but you've only been able to win one game in Omaha twice.
That's true.
I mean,
even getting there is,
yeah. I mean, it's a struggle to get to Omaha. I'm not saying it, like that's like making the Elite Eight in basketball. You're the final eight teams, but the three times you've gone, you've won a total of two games. So yeah, I'm just a little pessimistic. This one still stings. It's going to hurt for a while. It's a long time to stew on this one. And it would be easier to accept this had we lost by like 12 points or whatever, and there wasn't just weird calls that we felt hadn't gone our way, or if we never made the run back, like if Virginia just kind of coasted 8-10 point lead all the second half, and that's just how it ended. Like, it would really suck, but I wouldn't feel so like disgusted right now.
Yeah,
24 hours after halftime.
I think Kyle mentioned it in our chat that we Texas Tech did a really poor job of defending threes all night, and that was. That was almost reason enough to lose on its own without the heroics of guys like Kyler Edwards and Brandon Francis coming out of nowhere and hitting some really big shots. That would have been it. They were the only ones that really kept us in the game, because Virginia didn't really know what to do with them. They weren't focusing on them as much as they were with Culver and Moretti, and I mean Mooney, gosh, anytime he got the ball, anytime he got it inside the arc, they were swarming him big time. So he wasn't going to be able to make any Tony Parker-esque drives to the basket. But it still stings, even this much later. It'll be better tomorrow. We'll be all right.
Hopefully.
I was going to tell you, even driving to work this morning, the drive felt somber. Not just for me. It felt weird. It felt like everybody was just kind of going five miles an hour below the speed limit. No one was... They were just whatever. Just trying to get to work. I'll be there. I'll get there when I get there.
It's kind of how I started my day. I'd like... I texted the friend of mine that works on my floor. He's like, hey, you want to grab breakfast? Because I don't want to go into work right now.
It was kind of nice to be at work, because it took my mind off of it a little bit. But even the office was just dead. Our office was quiet.
So I said in the Slack chat this morning, I was like, one of the reasons why I didn't want to be in work, I didn't want to be around other people that wanted to talk about the game, that like have a very shallow knowledge of just sports in general.
Yeah.
That just bugs the crap out of me, especially when we lose and I'm just sour about it. Like, I don't want to talk about it, especially with you guys. And I was like, and Slack's like, I don't want to talk about this with anybody but you, Slack friends.
We'll talk about it to our podcast listeners too.
Right, because you guys obviously are a lot more engaged than my office mates that are like, ooh, he scored a bucket for, that's about a bad example of one of my coworkers, but.
The worst thing was, not the worst thing, but when we were in San Angelo.
Goal unit, there we go.
Right, a goal unit. A G unit. When we were in San Angelo, one of the bartenders was kind of halfway rooting for Gonzaga because he had him in his stupid bracket. Mm-hmm. Dude, don't tell me that. You don't got to tell me that. I'm obviously rooting for Texas Tech in this game right now. So that's just kind of one of those. No one cares about your bracket, especially when it's related to that. So sometimes that kind of stuff gets brought up that would always annoy me. Well, I didn't have Tech in my bracket against, I didn't have them going past the Sweet 16, so it's really kind of wrecking everything up. Good.
This is a good thing.
Not my problem. You're going to lose your $5 that you paid into your pool of other people who also don't know college basketball.
Yeah, we had an office pool, a bracket pool. I finished third.
It's pretty good.
My former manager was the only person that had Texas Tech winning the title. He finished fourth.
Oh, must have had some rough picks from the start.
Well, we were also really close. Had Tech won, he would have won the bracket. He would have won the pool. Because he was just below me at third. So I had like 150 points. He had like 148. But had Tech won, he would have had enough points to jump all the way up into first place. The guy that won picked Virginia.
Ugh. That hurts.
He's an Arkansas homie, homeboy. Not that he went to Arkansas, but he's from Arkansas. He went to a small Arkansas college, but
Little Rock.
A fan of. No, he went to Hardin.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a small Church of Christ school.
Gotcha.
Anyways, so yeah, I want to eventually get to a place where I can fully appreciate this season that like we went from being picked seventh in the Big 12, even though Chris Beard is now starting to say that we were picked last.
He'll say the bottom. I've heard him say the bottom. Yeah. And that's kind of, it's arguable, I guess.
Bottom third.
Yeah.
Going from picked seventh in the conference to winning the conference and then playing for a national title. Like that's unbelievable.
It is.
And I want to appreciate the magnitude of that, but right now I just am gutted.
Yes.
Like there's just nothing that about any of that that makes me feel any better about losing that game last night.
No, I don't feel the consolation at this point that I might feel in a month. You might look back on it and just think, wow, that really was incredible. I say that and I do feel that way, but it's still.
It may be the fall when we're, talking,
the fall.
We're talking about.
That was the face you made. You're like a month.
Like basketball season starting back. I was like, hey guys, you remember last season?
You remember last season?
We played for a dang national title.
That was crazy. Yeah, so it's going to take some time to fully appreciate. I think we do fully appreciate it, but I get what you're saying. Not feeling like we got shorted or not feeling negatively about it in any way. But gosh, just right there, a national championship to Lubbock, Texas. That would have been so sweet.
So I want to get to a question really quickly, and I'm probably it's going to take me a while to find this, but Dan brought it up a few days ago. There was a poll he had go out. It was like in the middle of Super Regionals last summer and asked, are we a football school, basketball school, baseball school, whatever, or other track?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, one, because of the timing of his question, like there was an overwhelming response towards baseball school.
Yeah, baseball was number one.
Because like I just, we were in the middle of the Super Regionals, or we had just won the Super Regionals, whatever. I think basketball was next.
No, I think football was next. I'm pretty sure basketball was third.
Okay. Either way, I think a season like this, to the general fan, is going to change that.
Oh, I agree.
Especially with just how the past few years of football has been, and like the just absolute uncertainty you've got going into this season. Everyone's like, I don't even know what we have with Matt Wells and his staff and what the team's going to look like and the offense is going to go.
Well, and
the defense is going to play. No expectations. We have a really bad home schedule this year.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to sell season tickets on, hey, we're playing TC and Oklahoma State this year. It's like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Basically, those are your two home games this year that the athletic department's trying to sell you a season ticket package on.
And I think it even goes one step further to just the state of football as a game, period. Just the popularity of it amongst parents and kids wanting to play or not play. I mean, if you have the option to play basketball over football, most kids are probably going to pick basketball now. It's the quote unquote safer, you know, I mean, you know, you can get hurt in basketball for sure. You can get hurt in any sport, but it's safer than football. And I think that's a big decision. And also just the way that Beard has really focused on the student body, getting them mm-hmm. involved, getting them coming to the games. The Texas Tech media department has done a great job. Just the whole athletic department in general, Giovanetti, all those guys have done a great job getting the students to the games. And then the students have done a great job of being, one, just consistently showing up, and two, being completely engaged from start to finish of every game, no matter who was there.
Except for maybe that Kansas blowout. There was a little less enthusiasm, less intensity.
I get
by 30. Then.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's no fault of theirs. Yeah.
But like there are games like that I want to remember and be like, oh my gosh, like we beat the pants off of Kansas this year.
Yes.
Like we beat them by 30.
And yeah. And we, was it Michigan that they had 16 points in the first half?
Yeah. We
stuff like that.
Yeah. We held
those are great things to remember.
Almost 30 points below their season average.
Yeah. An insane statistic.
It was like a bad football score.
Oh yeah. It was terrible.
65-44, whatever it was.
Yeah. And there's all that to consider and think about, but I do believe it's to that point now that, you know, basketball's always been, no offense, baseball fans, it's always been a more popular sport just in general.
Yeah, it's faster, it's more up-paced, it's a shorter game.
Yeah, it's televised more often.
There are fewer games.
There's fewer games, so they can televise them more often.
And they, because there are fewer, they mean more.
It's played indoors in Lubbock, Texas, which is pretty nice little perk. Mm-hmm. If you're a basketball fan, you don't have to fight the bitter cold for 4 hours or the dirt or whatever for 4 hours.
Just the changing schedule. Like, oh, by the way, tomorrow's game, we're moving it up 4 hours.
Yeah.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah. Oh, well, oops, we canceled tomorrow's game, so we're going to play two the next day. You got to work. Sorry. Yeah. You're going to miss that. But it's just, I think we're getting to that point. I think because Dan's felt strongly for a while that Texas basketball school, and that's where we're headed. If you play in a national title game and you have the incredible following that you have because of the success of your team, the likability of your players, the likability of your coach, and the way that the social media team and everyone has performed this season, which has just been outstanding, you get all those things mixing together, and students, fans, alumni, everybody just can't help but see what the Texas Tech basketball team is going to do next. They're on board. I may have to get season tickets next year. There's probably a lot of people thinking that.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But
so let me ask you this, pose you this question. I get that, like, because of like the way that we are in the calendar of the sports, that there's obviously like there's a heavy favorite towards baseball right now, but like who wins a title first, Beard or Tadlock? Because earlier this season or this year, I would have said Tadlock.
Yeah.
And then we very nearly turn that on its head and be like, no, that was going
to
be Beard.
And it was basically going to be, okay, here's how little I know. Let's say they get to the final series in Omaha. Is it a 3-game series?
Mm-hmm.
So for Tadlock to get to the equivalent of that, they would have to get to the 3rd game of that series and be tied in the 7th inning or something. Which sounds like a pretty good accomplishment, but no one could have ever thought that if we posed this question last summer, you know, who's going to win it first right after baseball season, we probably still would have thought, oh, it's going to be the baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. And I think every Tech fan was even thinking, hey, if we make the tournament this year, that's fantastic. Way to go. Cause we've lost a lot of really talented guys, and you know, if we get there, if we're an 11 seed in the tournament or something, good job. You know, that's the way to go. But far exceeded that. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I don't have an answer to that question. I'm dodging it completely. I think the DAC's still tilted towards Tadlock's favor. I think he's more likely to get a national championship, despite the fact that Chris Beard was 7 points away from getting one last night. But who knows? It's a good position to be in. It's fun to think about. We're just talking about how we can't even picture Tech getting back to a national championship in basketball just because we haven't seen that type of thing, but it could happen. Like I said, and twice. It could happen again. Why not once?
I can't remember who said it, but it's been kind of thrown around a lot that the first trip is the hardest.
Right.
It may have been when we were looking at the Michigan State matchup and Tom Izzo was saying like, or Beard was saying that he had heard, I don't know, basically saying Texas Tech's first ever Final Four may be their most difficult. Like it's the first time you've gone there. You have no idea what to expect. The expectations, the pressure to perform, all that kind of stuff are there that you've never experienced before. And that may change. Like it may make it a lot easier to make a repeat run, but like, man, right now it doesn't feel, it's so daunting. Cause like you think about like, okay, well this tournament is 6 games and you've got to be perfect.
You do. You can't have an off night.
It's not a double elimination like baseball where you can like, oh, that was a really bad game. Now we have to fight our way back into this, but we're not out.
Well, even in baseball, because it's kind of like those basketball NBA series I think we talked about a while back where these teams will blow each other out by 30,
mm-hmm.
and then really ramp it up for the game 7 or whatever it is. And in baseball, you can kind of do the same thing. If you look up and it's 10-1, at the bottom of the 7th, you're just kind of, all right, well, let's fold up shop for tonight. We'll get them tomorrow night. You can't do that in the NCAA tournament. You can't do that.
Like, we've got a
football playoff. I mean, I know it's just 2 games, and that's a whole nother conversation of getting to that point with our football program. But you've got to be on. You've got to be on the whole time, and that's what I was trying to talk about 30 minutes ago. About how incredible it was that Tech was that team this year, that they really didn't have an off night until they got to Virginia.
Mm-mm.
They'd have some off periods, and their offense was always kind of, not always, but their offense was in and out, but the defense was always solid and always came through, and then had some slip ups in the title game. That's still crazy to say.
It's going to be hard to just like the, how surreal that is. That like one that they made the Final Four after beating, like everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the toughest matchup. They have to go play Gonzaga. It was number one offense in the country. And it's going to be such a fight. And then you win and you make it to the Final Four and you're like, oh crap, we're in the Final Four, man. And then you go like, you play and you win on Saturday and you have 24 hours to turn around and play. Like you've got 24 hours to prepare and then play again on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, the way that Chris Beard put it, these four team tournaments that like happened a week apart. Like you played Friday, Sunday, the first weekend, and then Thursday, Saturday, the second something, like the second one, and then Saturday, Monday. It's like another point really quickly before we move on that Chris Level was making this afternoon on Tech Talk, like the path of those that make the Final Four but lose in the national title game. Like there's no celebration. There's no time for them to enjoy the Final Four.
No.
Because you win your first game, and then like, you immediately have to start preparing for your second game.
Like, oh, crap.
And then you lose your second game. You're like, there's nothing to celebrate. Like, it's like what I saw from Grant from Imadio, the K-State podcast, was talking about, like, this was a while ago, getting to the Elite Eight, and that's as far as you go. It's like, well, that's as far as you go without, like, winning anything. Right, you didn't win a trophy. You didn't get to cut down nets. It's like it's cool, but it's not like you had to call and like get to claim anything. Yeah, you won a game in the Final Four, but you lost in the national championship game. It's like it's going to be hard.
It stings, and it will for a while.
All right, let's move on to the football really quickly. We mentioned this earlier. There will be the spring game this weekend, Saturday. In Frisco.
The Star.
At the Star. Tickets are available. I have not heard anything about a broadcast of this. I would assume there would be something, but I haven't found anything or heard anything yet.
Nor have I. And they usually have it. If they had it anywhere on their site, it'd be on the football schedule itself.
Yeah, and I'm not seeing it there.
Nothing.
Kids 18 and under tickets are free. Adults are $10. So it's not like they're gouging you to go watch it. Although historically home spring games were always free.
Always. Yep.
I assume this is just to cover costs of the team traveling and then to host it in that facility. So I'm not seeing anything about this being on a broadcast platform, which is unfortunate. That will be the end of the spring practice sessions. First reports from the Lubbock scrimmage on the 30th were that the offense was way behind the defense. Heard some people that went to both Lubbock scrimmage and the one in Midland on Friday said that there was some progress made. There was a lot more positives to take from the Midland scrimmage than there were from Lubbock. So yeah, I'd be really interested to see what the team looks like with the new offensive and defensive coordinators, all those systems, but it's going to be difficult, obviously, without there being, well, one, that it's in Frisco and I'm in Lubbock and there's not going to be a broadcast on TV.
Yeah.
Also I have a T-ball game on Saturday.
Oh, that's priorities, man.
Yeah.
You got to hit up the T-ball game.
Yeah, I almost got ejected from a T-ball game this past weekend.
That sounds like something that would happen to you.
Well, yeah. We had just a terrible umpire, and we were the home team, so we were batting second. And it's well within the team's right, it's well within their right to do what they did to us, which is you can be super aggressive on the base path because four-year-olds fielding a thrown or batted ball is asking for a miracle. So basically what you can do to stop the play is the pitcher has to have possession of the ball on top of the mound, and then the umpire will call time, and then he will stop the runners and put them back to the last base they legally touched, unless there's a force, then they have to move somebody forward. But we had a infield single turn into a home run because of bad, like, kids that weren't paying attention, and there was like one like throwing error.
I know, I was about to say, were you with your book marking down the errors?
No,
and keeping up?
I was screaming at 4-year-olds, and I felt like a tool afterwards because I made my son cry. I was like, It's a game of 4-year-olds playing baseball. And I feel like a real douchebag for doing that too. I was just frustrated. Like, guys,
you can learn from it.
He should have been out at first. Like, it was one, like, he basically hit the ball, like dribbled it up to the pitcher.
And the pitcher should have just stood on the mound?
Well, no, he was trying to get him out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And like I think he tried to throw it or something. I don't know. I don't remember. It was just a disaster. And then, so it started with that, like, the other team was super aggressive running the bases. Then our manager almost got tossed for arguing with, like, the other coaches on the team. So, like, I had to take over for her pitching. And I suck it. I was, like, hitting my own players, and I was not in a great mental space. But there's a rule. So this modified T-ball division, they get 3 pitches, and then if they miss all 3, they get 2 swings off the tee. Unless they foul the second swing off the tee, then they get 1 more swing, and only 1 more swing.
Okay.
The umpire was calling out my batters after the second foul off the tee. I was like, no, he gets 1 more swing. He's like, no, he's out. I was like, no, he gets 1 more swing. He's like, no, he's out. And like the opposing team's fans were starting to yell at me. He's like, no, he's out, coach. He's out. He's out, coach. I was like, all right, I'm not going to fight this. So I turned around and I was walking back and I said something snarky. Like, I was talking to the umpire, but I wasn't facing him anymore. I was like,
yeah,
walking away.
The
real
those famous last words. Yeah.
And I said, well, I guess we're playing by our own made up rules now. And he's like, what was that? I was like, you heard me. Because the what was that is like the umpire speak for, like, that's a warning. Had I said it again, I would have been ejected. Anyways.
From a T-ball game.
Modified T-ball. This is 4 and 5-year-olds, guys.
Don't ever question Spencer's
Here's the thing.
Intensity when it comes to sports.
I have umpired this division before. I've done this.
You've done that job.
Yeah,
I've been in his shoes.
I've done modified T-ball, coach pitch, and then the next 2 divisions up are the kid pitch. So I've done the division all the way up that's eligible for the Little League World Series. I've done that division too, all the way down to modified T-ball. I've done all of them because it's just easy to schedule games. Like, you pick up $25 a game and you do 2 or 3 games a day. It's like, it's easy money, man.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad at all.
$50 just hanging out at the ballpark for a couple hours watching 4-year-olds running around like crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gig.
Really, the only thing you have to do as an umpire in that division is call a fair ball or foul, really, because the ball has to leave the little circle. And then just make sure there's no like weirdness that happens, like collisions or tags or weird force out, because like there's not really any judgment calls,
right?
Because like when they stop the runners from advancing, like they just have to go back to the last base. So like if they're one step away, there's no like imagining like, well, he was almost there, he gets that base. Oh, he has to go back.
Yeah,
it sucks to make that call. You're like, oh, you're almost there, man, but you gotta go back. But like there's like no judgment calls. It's really it's an easy game, and this dude was he turned
incorrect.
He turned things into judgment calls. Like, no, dude, you're screwing this up. Anyways, so I've got a T-ball game on Saturday.
Okay. Well, that's
so I wouldn't be able to make the trip to Dallas and watch the game anyways. We've already missed enough T-ball games. We have a makeup game tomorrow that will probably get canceled.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be awful. It's supposed to be another one of those 60-mile-an-hour wind days.
Yeah. Because our game Friday night got rained out. One batter into the game, they're like, no, it's too late to start a game. We're going to go ahead and reschedule this. And it's either going to be for Sunday afternoon, and the other coach, because they were home, they got preference, and that they said, you know what, we've got a couple coaches that are traveling to go to the games up in Minnesota. We're not going to rush back to coach a T-ball game on Sunday when we could be playing on Monday, which we did. So like the other option is Wednesday night. I was like, oh, that's so much better than a Sunday afternoon anyways. And then we get this weather.
Yeah.
So we're probably rescheduling.
It's probably going to blow the ball off the tee.
Yeah. Well, the the weather to cancel a T-ball game. I think it's 40 degrees with or without the wind chill, whichever's lowest. It has to be above 40, and 40 mile per hour winds has to be under that.
Hmm.
So I think we'll probably eclipse the 40 mile per hour winds.
That's what they keep saying.
Unless by that time it's dying down, but we'll see. So I wish we were seeing some more football. We had kind of heard and hoped that there were going to be some more openness to the program this spring. And I mean, we had three scrimmages. It's more open than I remember. I mean, no, because we've done three in the past. We've done a Lubbock, Dallas, Midland.
Yeah, I think so. This is the second or third year we've done three.
And then baseball really quickly. You took two of three this past weekend from Kansas. You were hoping to sweep. You didn't get it on Sunday. If you were watching the game or listening to it, there were some jokes coming out about the starting pitcher on Sunday for Kansas leaving it all on the field. 'Cause he literally lost his lunch, his cookies, after the first batter. He called time, blew chunks all over the vomiting in front of the mound. And because of the student run cameras, like we got a really good close up of it. I think the best part was, and this is what Jamie was talking about too, if you heard him mention it today on the radio, was the crowd reaction. Because I don't think they saw what happened the first time. Like once there was like a group of people around him, like because when they called time, like the catcher came out, the coach, the trainer, the umpire, they're all kind of like around him.
Mm.
But the fans could still sit. So like he came to the front of the mound but turned around. So he was facing more like to the left field foul pole. So like he wasn't facing anybody, but like there's a camera back there basically. It looked like it was just like Gatorade.
Oh, like
it
great.
Was, it was just fluid.
Yeah.
So like, well, he's not sick.
Yeah. It's just nerves or
it's just really strange.
He jogged. Maybe he drank too much Gatorade.
Maybe he was waterlogged and he was overexerting himself in this first, because once that was done, he took a couple of swigs of water, threw one warm-up pitch, and then went right back into the game.
Yeah, hats off to
he was like, okay, I'm good to go.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Just had to clear my sinuses, basically.
I had to let that one go. And then tonight they're playing New Mexico State in Midland. Currently bottom of the eighth. Texas Tech is up 10-3. This was the final meeting with New Mexico State this season. You win tonight, you'll have this series season sweep. It's the team that has like just ridiculous batting stats because of the conference they play in. And then you host West Virginia this weekend.
No, you're at West Virginia.
Sorry, at West Virginia. That's right. Which I've heard there's some weather out there this weekend too. There's a possibility of doubling up on Saturday or whatever it is. I haven't looked at the weather in West Virginia, whether you're doubling up Friday or Saturday, but trying to get three games in, probably over 2 days. You saw the Texas Baylor game have a game canceled. So they only played two games, which means you have this like weird number, like not every team will play the same number of conference games this year. So you can't just look at conference records. You have to look at like the win percentage. So it's going to throw things off unless everybody ends up canceling a conference game, which is more unlikely than not.
Then right after West Virginia, before the Baylor series, back when you're back at home, which we will be going to a Baylor game on Good Friday.
I will be heading to my brother-in-law's coworker's ranch to go hunting.
Oh, that sounds
nice. Easter weekend. It's out at Blackwell, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I think, a few minutes south of Sweetwater.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone through Blackwell.
So we're heading out there.
Well, that's Easter weekend. That'll be fun.
It'll be something.
Yeah.
It's blind hunting, because I was like, I don't own
any a catheter
camo garb, except for like this really heavy, like outer coat, and it shouldn't be cold enough for that arena.
Nah.
He's like, no, you're fine. We're going to be in a blind. Just wear whatever's comfortable. I was like, okay, good.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I've got hiking pants and hiking boots, whatever that. Anyways, go on.
Well, the only thing I was going to mention is the next midweek game is against Duke a week from today.
And I wish it was here in town.
I do too. That could be a pretty salty one. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be on TV anywhere, but April 16th, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Might check that out and see what, I guess it'll be Jeff now. Jeff and Jamie.
Because right now it's Jamie and Gus, which right. is really entertaining to listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, Gus is great. I think it'll be Jeff again now that basketball season's over. And see what they have to say about the coach and his super long timeouts that he's probably going to call a couple of times.
Yeah, so the Baylor series has moved up a day because of Easter weekend. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
So I may be able to go to one of those games. No, actually I can't because I have practice Thursday night. It's the only game I probably would be able to go to is Thursday night because I'll be out of town Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, we got tickets to the Friday night one just because that sounded like a... I'm just hoping for a beautiful spring Friday night, not one where it's hailing all over the place or there's dirt tornadoes.
Dirt tornadoes?
Yeah.
And then I was looking past that. You have a midweek series against New Mexico Tuesday, 6:30, Wednesday at 2. I was like, I could go to one of those. And then I realized... On Tuesday, I'm going out of town. I'm going to Phoenix for a conference.
You're just all over the place.
But I'm going to a Diamondbacks Cubs game while I'm there.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That'll be fun. I'll be going by myself so I can like take my scorebook and
get oh yeah
copious amounts of whatever I want to eat and I have to share it and
yeah
just try things out and be like I want a hot dog now or
yeah and then you can move around you know if you get to your seat and. And you're like, in a completely empty section, but you're next to somebody.
I'm going to go ahead and move a couple of seats down.
Yeah. Do you mind? Do you mind if I just moved it? No. I mean, you've got to sit in your seat.
And then past that, you're hosting another Big 12 series, Oklahoma State, UTRGV, Oklahoma, FIU, TCU, and that's it.
Baseball's coming and going.
It's moving quickly. So we didn't ask for any questions this week. I don't have any questions for you to answer besides my thought. Like my brother was, he kept asking me like what my thoughts were before the game, after the game. It sucks. That's all I can tell you, man.
I've never thought about this before, but just going back to Odiasse making those super clutch free throws, I was already thinking about how I was going to celebrate if Tech won. And with my 2-year-old asleep down the hall, it was going to be me running out the back door screaming as loud as I could in the backyard. But that didn't come to pass, unfortunately. But what a season. Truly just incredible. I hope we're not too down on this. I think on this podcast, I think there's a lot of people that kind of feel the same way we do. They're still processing it. They're still disappointed, yet also completely proud and completely happy for what this team has accomplished, what this staff has accomplished. Looking forward to the future, knowing that there's a lot of bright spots still here. There's a lot of bright spots coming. That we have two guys that were here for 1 year who personify the meaning of being a Red Raider with Owens and Mooney. I mean, those guys are just as tough as they come. They're hardworking guys. And Tech would not have been anywhere close to making the run they did without them. Odiasse will be gone. One of the first guys from Tubby's first class. Francis will be gone. Culver will probably be gone. So it'll be different next year, and I'm excited for it. I think Tech's still going to compete. I still think they're going to be in the top. I think they'll be in the top 3 or 4 of the Big 12 for sure. But I'm not going to put it on them to get back to the national championship game, or I'm just gonna be sorely disappointed. I'm not gonna go that route.
Yeah, I was trying to scroll through some Twitter notifications, see if I could find some questions or something. Cause I do think there were questions posed, but I'm scrolling through a bunch of people interacting just through the game last night.
Right.
I was like, this is just a beating.
It's hard to weed it out.
And of course my wife like replying to tweets that have profanity in them. Hashtag not liking this or whatever she said. I was like, oh, good, 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 good. She's not a fan of profanity.
Not a fan of the language.
Well, it was talking about it was heat of the moment and game stuff, and
it was the heat of the moment.
I guess I have a going yard update. I don't know.
You do?
I put down fertilizer a week ago or whatever I think it was. Definitely have seen some growth. I'm now, the mower's at its tallest setting. As of last night, I had to mow the yard before the game. So I was like, one, this is my only free night this week. And I still like 2.5 hours to kill before the game. I was like, I can't sit here for 2.5 hours. So I had to get out and do something. So yeah, I'm already mowing at 4 inches tall. Passes. And then I'm now like, I'm going back and realizing, so I either need to like bump it down a setting or I need to find taller sprinkler heads, because the air quotes 5-inch sprinkler heads don't come up over the 4-inch tall grass.
I'm having some trouble with sprinkler heads too.
Is that from when AT&T destroyed half your yards system?
Yes, that's partially it, but the remaining sprinkler heads from the original system that are along the, my house is kind of built up a little bit. Of course, most people's are. So it naturally slopes from the foundation to the three sides of my house that are encompassed with sidewalk, being on a corner. So that means on top of that, whenever the sand blows and the dirt blows down here, the bottom side of that, gets caked with the sand, and I've been fighting the sand a lot. So long story short, my benchmark elevation where those sprinkler heads are, mm-hmm, has gone up because the sand keeps building it up. So the sprinkler heads are now getting too short.
Yeah.
It's because the dirt is building up around it enough to the point where, you know, the sprinklers come on and the grass is starting to catch it. And it's just really annoying because there's really not much you can do about that aside from, like you said, maybe change out the heads.
Luckily, sprinkler heads are fairly inexpensive. You just have to buy a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at like, so we have a Toro system. The brand is Toro, not like Rainbird or Hunter. There's a 570Z Pro Series 6-inch pop-up sprinkler body. $6.50, so $6.50. It's like, that's not bad. And I was, yeah, like, how many do I need? 12.
Right. That adds up in a hurry.
But like, it's an easy cost to kind of like, okay, it's $6 a pop, $7 each. Or I can just cut my grass a little bit shorter, or go around with like the weed eater and like cut out little divots around.
Yeah, you could do that.
And make it look like real stupid, because it looks really nice when it's all even all the way across. You're like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Nice and flat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one more thing about the yard. I was at Walmart today. I was buying screws and nuts to fix / upgrade Grayson's tee for T-ball.
Okay.
The tee screws into the plate, the base plate. Those that came like originally weren't like, didn't have any thread locker on it, and they just fell off when we lost them. But we were able to save one screw. So I took that to Home Depot today. And I was like, okay, I need to find this screw. Whatever. It's a number 8, 5 5/32, whatever, 3/8 inch long. Anyways. So I did that, and I also went out and checked out my biosolid fertilizer recommendation I gave everybody, Milorganite.
That's right.
They had one bag left on the pallet, and it was like cut open. It had been torn open.
Probably, you know why they just had one bag left?
Because the power of the 23 Personal Podcast.
That's exactly it.
Because there were pallets and pallets of all the other Scott's Weed and Feed, which is not a good way to go.
People rushed. I'm rushed sure to those stores after hearing
I'm
you.
I'm sure they did. I need to get a commission check now.
You do. From
Milorganite.
Milorganite?
Mm-hmm. Milorganite. There you go.
Okay.
Anyways, don't have any questions for you. Michael, what did we learn this week? Besides the refs suck and you can't win 8-5.
I learned two things. First of all, I didn't realize that a national championship or a Texas team hasn't won a national championship in basketball since the 60s.
Yep.
I didn't know that. That was the Glory Road
UTEP
deal.
UTEP or Texas Western.
Well, yeah, right. I wasn't UTEP then. But and then the other thing I learned was Avengers Infinity War is pretty good. I finally got the chance to watch it because I'm on top of things.
I have not.
Oh, you haven't watched it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. So I'm not the last one who...
I'm probably
to
not
going to
watch it, so
it's okay. Well, I wanted to just because I feel like I should. It's not like I'm a huge fan of these Marvel movies. I've missed a lot of them. I feel like we had a question about that. Someone had us rank the Marvel movies, and there were several that I hadn't seen. There still are.
I think I found out I'm 23 Marvel movies behind. That's not a joke.
23?
Mm-hmm.
How many are there? 24?
I think.
Have
like
you seen Iron Man and that's it?
Like Iron Man 2 and like everything past that is a no.
Oh yeah, you're okay.
Wow. Well, I mean,
does that really add up to 23? I guess it could.
I've seen parts of Thor, the first one.
Yeah.
But I don't consider that a
yeah, like, and there's three of them. That's what's nuts. There's like three of everything.
There's a bunch of X-Men, like there's some of those
well,
spinoffs.
I don't know if those count in this. But then like they are Marvel movies, but they're not in the same cinematic universe or whatever. Someone's going to correct me, which is fine. But Infinity War was pretty good. It was a pretty good movie. So's The Highwaymen. Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, Netflix-only movie. That's definitely worth checking out if y'all have the subscription and are interested in the former Texas Rangers that caught Bonnie and Clyde.
All right, so maybe I'm not 24 movies behind, but
I really don't think there's that many. I think there's maybe 24.
There's 21. There's 21 total.
See,
according
there you go.
To the Wikipedia entry, I'm going to run through them really quickly.
Over exaggerating.
This is in order, I believe. Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, which I've tried to watch that a couple of times. I just can't. It's so stupid.
No way. I liked that one.
So dumb. Avengers, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man. I've seen Ant-Man. It was stupid.
I have not seen Ant-Man.
Captain America, Civil War. No, I saw Ant-Man the Wasp. Also dumb. Captain America, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel. So I'm not as far behind as I thought, because I've seen Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, parts of Captain America, The Avengers, parts of Guardians of the Galaxy, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I did see all of that one.
I've probably seen...
So I've seen seven.
I've seen probably seven. Two-thirds of that list.
I've seen one-third. Yeah. And I have no interest in catching up.
I really didn't either, but it's been on Netflix for a while, and I thought, well, shoot, I'll watch it. I really liked it. It was a good one. There were actually some stakes. Because that's been one of the things on these... Not the kind of stakes we like to typically talk about, but they were that's been one of the knocks in my head on these Marvel movies is everything blows up. Every single thing on the screen explodes, yet everyone is unscathed.
That's how it works, man.
All the heroes come out, everything's fine. Not so much in Infinity War. There's some loss there. There's quite a bit of loss.
Is that the one where, what's his face? Hold on.
Thanos
like snaps his finger and like everybody's dead?
Not everybody.
Basically everybody.
Half of everybody. Spoiler alert.
Basically everybody. All right.
That's all I learned.
All right. I don't know if I have anything else to learn. Just the despair of this week, this loss. So that's Michael. I'm Spencer. Thanks for joining us again on the 23 Personnel Podcast.